The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, making God more real to you than ever before.
Because great is your reward in heaven. I need you to know today, this turns out so well. This turns out so well. I need you to know, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn out so well.
Stay tuned as Beth Moore helps you to discover God's kingdom purpose.
For joining us on Life Today. It's Wednesdays with Beth. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And Beth is concluding a series that we did together called God's Kingdom in You, Living in His Presence in the Present. We're also offering Jim Hilton's book, The Supernatural Skyline. Now, this is, boy, I'm telling you what, people are loving this. And they loved hearing Jim Hilton on Life Today. You can go online and listen to him. Very interesting, the insight, where heaven touches earth. And we're really talking about the reality of God's kingdom. It's not some place we're waiting to go. There is that future eternal kingdom where there's no conflict, no challenge. But what about now? What about His kingdom coming? What about the kingdom He says is within us? And announcing His first message that we need to repent, believe a new way, for His kingdom is at hand. And Beth is talking about that, really the conclusion of the series, God's Kingdom in You, that we're really hoping you'll get on CD or DVD, and are both. And really, let's make people aware of the reality of God's kingdom presence right now. Here's Beth Moore.
I loved, did you see in recent weeks in the series on the kingdom, when James was talking about his history as a couple with Betty and how he told her, he is more real to me than the skin wrapped around my bones. We want you to know him like that. And there's no way to explain that, but I'm praying he's going to give you that kind of sense of his presence. But don't waste that need. Because part of that need, part of that crisis is exactly what has put you in the place to hear His voice. It's not the grief that is a blessing. It's not the mourning that is the blessing. But there is a comfort that comes to those who are hurting that is unlike anything else to me in the realm of the human experience. I've known at times when I was coming out of a crisis, I have had the most vivid awareness in my mind that there was about to be a trade-off. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I would know. He's gone so out of His way to make Himself known to me. I mean, He might as well have just shown up in front of me in a multicolored coat. Anybody getting that with me? I mean, like, He would almost do like cartwheels for you because you were in such a state of desperate need. And you know that when things ease up a little, maybe you're not as desperate for that word to jump off the page. Blessed, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are we. I want you to look down at verse 7 that says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I jotted this down in my notes. Blessed are we when we choose mercy. Blessed are we when we choose mercy. It says this in James 2, verses 12 and 13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I don't set up the rules. God is all wise, and He knows if He does not make this a personal issue where we realize that if we are not merciful people, we're going to have an encounter with God or a season with God where we feel like He is somehow not pouring out that favor in our misery that we have seen Him so often do. when he is calling us to a place of mercy. Somebody's trying to decide today, this season of your life, whether to treat a situation with mercy or judgment. And I say to you this, because this is where it gets confusing. I mean, like, what if truth needs to be spoken? Oh, that's what it's called in Ephesians when he says, speak the truth in love. Mercy never means we don't speak truth. Mercy never means that we act like we're blind. Mercy means knowing, eyes wide open, what the situation is. We choose to have the heart of Christ toward that person in their estate. We choose to see them underneath the offense that we've taken into the hurt that causes people to hurt people. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Everybody say it because it's a wonderful thing to say. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Say it again.
Mercy triumphs over judgment.
You know, I want you to see verse 8 where it says this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. And this is what occurred to me. Blessed are we that God sees our hearts. Blessed are we. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are we that God sees our hearts. I want to say something to you. I love the fact that we can't fool God. I'd have tried to do it. I love that. I had to learn very early. When you come out of an abuse background like mine, you learn very early how to put up the front that you hope people will buy. You become a different person. And listen, it will be the death of you. It's the death of you. Because anytime we're living in that kind of masquerade, it's going to come down all over us. But that's kind of that is the huge temptation to someone who has gone through that kind of thing. And I love that there just simply is no way to fool God. He is not, I mean, he's on to our bull. Anybody? I mean, he's on to it. He's on to it. And here's what I jotted down in my notes, because this was just a tremendous gift of mercy to me. I felt like God just spoke over my heart. You can still have a pure heart even after an impure life. We can still have a pure heart. God can give us a pure heart even after an impure life. If you're like me, I tend to think, you know, I'm way past pure. I mean, let me go on to like, okay, I've learned a lot. Let me go on to discipleship. But like, it's way too late for pure. I need to know if anybody, can anybody just relate with me the least? Way too late for pure. This doesn't say that we have to have a pure life in our past. It says pure in heart. Pure in heart can be the very one that go face down and say, God, rescue me out of my depravity. Here is my state. I'm going to be honest with you, Lord. I don't even know why I do what I do. I don't even know why. Rescue me. You know what, girlfriend, guy friend? That's a pure heart. That's a pure heart. A pure life follows a pure heart. But that is a pure heart. You stick right here in Matthew 5 for a moment. I just want to read you these wonderful words out of Psalm 32. I think of them so often. It says in verses 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. And the whole idea, what does forgiveness of sin have to do with the spirit with no deceit? He said, you come to me in your truth, in the reality of your condition, pouring out your confessions. This is my estate, in whose spirit is no deceit, in no way trying to cover from God. The complete reality of who you are and where you've been and what you've done, who I've been, what I've done. No deceit. Blessed are you. Blessed am I when he forgives our every transgression and does not hold them against us. Psalm 51:10 says the beautiful words of the psalmist who had been found in his own depravity, this man after God's own heart, and had been caught by the clutches of the evil one. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. That word create in Psalm 51 is the same word for create in the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1. Bara, it means in the Hebrew language to create out of absolutely nothing, ex nihilo. It means to create from nothing. It means that I can go to him without anything to offer him and go, in this cavern of my soul, create from nothing I have to give you a clean heart within me. And in that moment, certainly we know ultimately, but even in that moment, we see something of our God. I want you to see something lastly in the passage. It says in verses 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice means what you think it does, and be glad is rejoice on steroids. It's a dancing and a leaping and a celebrating. We've talked about the word on our Wednesdays before. I want you to see it here because I want you to remember something it says, because great is your reward in heaven. I need you to know today, this turns out so well. This turns out so well. I need you to know, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn out so well. And you have real reward coming, real reward for sticking with him when everything in life tries to loosen you from what you know to be real. Great is your reward. Do not throw away your confidence. It shall be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, Hebrews chapter 10 says, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I want to show you one other place rejoice and be glad shows up. Only other time it shows up in a pair like that. Rejoice and be glad. Everybody say rejoice and be glad.
Rejoice and be glad.
Say it one more time.
It's
so fun because it's basically saying, like, rejoice and now rejoice even more. Like, now rejoice on the inside, now rejoice on the outside. There's only one other time in the New Testament it pairs up that way. Would you look at Revelation chapter 19? Revelation 19. What's our point on the table right now? Well, our point is, blessed are we because this turns out really well. This turns out really well. And if I can get my mind wrapped around the fact that this is going to turn out well, you know what? If I know I'm going to be really, really happy, I get a little bit happy thinking about it. Anybody? Like, if I know, if I'm thinking about something that I'm going to get to do with the grandkids, like when Amanda and Kurt asked me to go with them to the zoo with the kids last Saturday, do you know, I was so happy getting ready, and I hadn't even been to it yet. But I knew it was going to be good. I didn't know how good. But I knew it was going to be good. And if we could get in our heads, what a party we've got coming. Oh, oh, what a deposit of joy it would put in our lives. I want you to see verse 6, Revelation 19, verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. The Lord omnipotent reigneth." The King James Version says, "The Lord omnipotent reigneth." Before we get to rejoice and be glad, I just want to speak this word over you out of the scriptures. The Lord your God really does reign. And you just drag every single bit of this in your life right to the feet of Jesus so that he can put his feet on top of them, because he really does reign. And there's nothing he cannot do. Nothing. And then it says these words. Here's our pairing again. Let us what?
Rejoice and be glad.
Oh, say it again.
Rejoice and be glad.
Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. I got a voicemail from my man not very long ago. Now, listen, please do not take from this story that we have got the perfect marriage. My husband and I ride a bigger roller coaster than you could find in the United States of America. I mean, that's just us. We're just passionate people. We hardly ever have a feeling we do not share. Does anybody understand that? But I mean, it's not just one of us. It is both of us. And we just were like, I mean, we are just fire and ice together. And we just trade places, which one's going to be fire today and which one's going to be ice today. But in all of this up and down roller coaster ride, we have also worked in some romance. You know, because we have fallen out of love so many times, the one good side of it I can tell you is we've fallen back in a number of times as well. And so I'm not suggesting you pattern your marriage after us, but I'm just saying that we have had a very wild ride. And it have made it 32 years, which is the miraculous power of God alone. But I got a voicemail from him not too long ago, and at the very end of it, it just said this, "I love you, darling. Come home to me. Come home to me." I just stare at the phone like this going, "I'm coming home to you." And I played it again, listened to it again for the very end. "Okay, I'm going to." That's how this ends. You're groom. The captain of the Lord's army. The darling of heaven. The holy Son of God and King of glory. The last thing you will ever hear on this planet may be, "Darling, come home to me." Matthew 25, 34 says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Any wonderful fairy tale, any story that has kept you glued to the screen has something of eternity wrapped up in it that says there really is a happily ever after. My God is going to make all things new. I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills His kingdom purpose for me.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
I'll tell you what, I'm excited about that incredible day. I mean, you talk about having something to look forward to. No question about it, we do. Our future's secure. But Christ in us, the hope of the glory we'll someday be in, that glory being in us now. And Betty, that's my earnest prayer. That's really why I'm encouraging everyone to get God's kingdom in you. Get that subheading. Living in His presence, just like spiritual gravity, in the present day. The only way God's kingdom can be done on earth, as it is in heaven, is for the King of heaven, the God of heaven, the Father, to be accomplishing His will on earth through us. That's how He does it. And this is one of the ways that you can rest assured He is accomplishing His will through us. I want you to look through the eyes of God and a beautiful, gifted musician, a singer, Tammy Trent, as she's in the middle of really the pain, some of the greatest pain on the earth, but with the greatest answer, really the only answer, and that's the love of God through caring people. But in the midst of these missionaries and what they see every day, she offers a solution. And we are all a part of that. Just listen to the heart of God through Tammy.
How do you even begin to prepare your heart for such a trip as this? I don't think you can, but I do believe that your heart is forever changed. We travel out into the middle of nowhere, and I stepped out of the car and I looked around at hundreds of children. You could physically see the signs on their precious little bodies. You know, their hair was changing color, and they were losing their hair. I mean, you can look around and see things aren't so good. But they didn't choose that for their lives. Things aren't so good for them. because they had nothing to eat. In fact, I've learned of a child today who has collapsed, walks 2 miles every single day to come to school, but there's no food here for her, but she at least comes to school. Is it bad? Oh, gosh. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. These children are malnourished, and they're collapsing because they're weak. I can barely take it, to be honest with you, and I think, gosh, what could I have done? There's so many moments like this that are happening all the time. That breaks my heart, because I can love them. I can love them deeply for moments, but and then I leave. And I think for me, even being able to hug a child is my way of saying, God will provide for you.
I can't tell you how all of it goes on in my heart when I watch that. Betty, I saw Tammy referring to little kids trying to come to school, and I'm thinking, you know what, they're just barely strong enough to even try to do that, and they don't have anything to eat there. And Peter Pretorius started telling us years ago, we're going to start feeding kids at school because we want them to go to school. And if they go to school, by the way, among girls, the attendance in schools jumped 70% on the part of girls, if you'll feed them. And it's where a lot of them get their only nourishment of the entire week, their whole lives. And so what we try to do is find the most effective way to meet a need. But in many places, Betty, you know, we're going to crisis areas like Sudan, other areas, even in Angola and various places, and even some there in Mozambique, where the kids are still just so weak and malnourished. You'll see them in malnutrition clinics that we actually help have the supplies there. It's where kids go like, you know, they're going to die. And they kind of go there as last hope if they can find such a place. But the missionaries find the places to put them. But here's the deal. I don't care how much Tammy points you to a need, how much the missionaries take her and others like us with a heart to care and show them the need. If we don't have the ability to meet the need, all you do is stand there and cry. And you just weep. Or you see them try to go to school and yet they're too weak to really learn. And the missionaries say, you know what, we could feed here if we just have the ability to do it. So we try to do a total program of really transforming their lives. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Twice a year, we come to you and we say, look, help us feed children now for the next several months. $30 or $50 or $100, and this is not an exaggeration. This is not total child care. This is life-sustaining nourishment. It's restoring health, stabilizing them. We can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for that amount. I don't think there's a person watching that can't do something. Betty, I believe if each viewer would just look and say, okay, I see those little children she's pointing at, I'll take 3 of them. And for the next month, that's it. Or somebody can take 10. Everybody can help somebody. And we've really got the answer to their need.
That's right. And I thought Tammy said something really interesting there at the close. She said, I can only hug them and love them for this moment, and then I leave. But there is a way. Through our giving, through our reaching out and saying, here, I'll give you some food. I'll feel your need. And I'll love you because it's Jesus' love. It will continue. So please join with us and let's feed these children.
You know, as I listen to you making that request, that appeal, you're pleading the cause of the needy, as the Old Testament prophet said, the widow, the orphan, the needy. And that's so appropriate. But as I listened to her doing that, my heart leaped inside because I said, guess what? We're talking to people who care. You don't just turn away. You have no idea how much you encouraged us when we came back from the mission fields and we said, you know, we just give everything up. Just leave. We'll come live here. The missionaries said, please don't. They said, go back and tell them so we can stay here and make a difference. Please tell people so we can stay and help them. And you know what? You said, we'll help you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. That's what I'm asking you to do today. For the next several months, would you give $100 to feed 10 children, 50 to feed 5, or 30 to feed 3. It may be that you can give more than that. We want to send you something to bless you. We always do. God's kingdom in you, the kingdom that you're expressing, the love of God you're releasing, we want to show you a little bit more about what it means to live in that spiritual gravity, the reality of His presence. We want to bless you. Thank you for making that call. Use your bank card like a check. Go online, make the gift. If you write a check, make it to Life, because that's what you're giving. And in behalf of those children you help, in many instances whose lives you save, thank you. Please make that special call.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's Mission Feeding Teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
We do want to thank you for your gift. Now, let me just remind you, everyone has a part in God's heart. And one part in his heart is to share his heart, put his hands out, and don't leave the missionaries empty-handed. Transforming power. I want you to get God's Kingdom in you. I can promise you it'll help you begin to live with an awareness of his presence right now. It has transforming effect. And by the way, if you could possibly help us care for 100 children, please do it. You will be revealing the heart of the Father. And we want to bless you with a beautiful bronze, a collectible. And we just thank you so much for your help. Encourage your friends to watch Wednesdays with Beth, watch Life Today every day. Go to lifetoday.org, read Words of Life every week, check out my commentary. You can go over to From the Desk of James and read where I address the issues of concern that we pray about. Thank you so much for your help. Pass the word, will you?
Tomorrow, James, Betty, and Beth share lessons about God's kingdom we can all learn from a dog.
And she got her little paws on the steering wheel, and we're just going, and she's just looking.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.